The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live.
Welcome!
Welcome to The Big Show. This is one of those days where I could easily fill a six-hour show because there is so much stuff to talk about. I have a heartbreaking story that we're going to share with you at the bottom of the hour. The dad of a kid up in Marysville who took his own life a couple of months ago, he's trying to get some answers from the school. He has turned to us because he says that he doesn't know where else to turn, and we will hear his story. He also says he has a message that he wants parents to know who have kids who are going through some tough times. And so we'll talk to that dad coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. Attorney Lincoln Beauregard is going to join us. He is one of the people who uncovered, discovered how Jenny Durkin and top City Hall staffers, along with Democratic political consultants, how they were using private Gmail accounts to try to avoid the public seeing how they're conducting work at the city of Seattle. I said yesterday, I think that Durkin should have to resign because the cover-up is worse than the offense, where she claimed she didn't know that this was going on. Clearly a lie. And when you have government officials who are trying to do work that you and I cannot see, and as you know, I pride myself in this show on being government watchdogs, and we got some stinky stuff going on at the city of Seattle right now, and have had for a long, long time. And Jenny Durkin, who has been a horrible mayor so far, the 1 year she's been in office, you look at what's happening with the drugs and with the homelessness and with the crime, and nothing's getting better. She's robotic on the surface, manipulative right below the surface, and now they're violating ethics codes by conducting government business off the grid. So we'll talk with one of the people who discovered those emails, Lincoln Beauregard. Dave Wyman will join us for his weekly visit. Before I get into all the big lead stories, did you realize we're not getting, this is the busiest mail season of the year, right around Christmas time.
Yeah.
My mailbox jammed every day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize we're not going to have any mail service tomorrow?
For the day of national mourning?
Yeah.
I heard about that. Also, the stock market's going to be closed, which might be a good thing since it's like dropping seriously.
It's down 700 points right now, 50 minutes before the close. Why are we not having mail service? I like George H.W. Bush. It was seemed like a good man, the patriarch of a good family. I have great admiration for, you know, the incredible love that his kids and his grandkids had for him and his late wife. But we're not going to have mail service tomorrow? That doesn't make any sense to me. A national day of mourning?
Yes.
I'm sorry,
day
he passed.
The president passes away.
He was 94 years old.
Nobody's
in mourning. His family members, his loved ones. What are we supposed to do on a national day of mourning? Do I have to come to work and fight through my grief tomorrow?
I feel sorry for the postal workers on Thursday because that's going to be a rough day catching up.
Yeah.
A national day of mourning?
I'm just a little laughing. Yeah, it's only one day. We still have to work, but.
Yeah. Why don't I get the day to mourn? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I know. I'll be honest. I was surprised too.
And they're closing the stock market.
Do we have to pay parking?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Ooh, yeah.
Do I have to?
I'm gonna go do all my shopping tomorrow in the city.
Well, maybe we don't have to pay taxes tomorrow. Are they going to suspend all?
Let's just look.
Are they going to suspend all sales taxes tomorrow? So we can buy stuff.
I haven't heard about that one.
I mean, because in my grief, I don't know if I'm going to want to pay full freight if I go to the store tomorrow. That would help me a little bit deal with what we're all going through if they would lighten the load. A national day of mourning. That's just, that's really goofy to me. And again, I say that not to disparage the man. I liked him a lot. He was, seemed like a very good man. The, like I said, the good patriarch of a family. But no mail is just, and you're right, Nicole. Those poor mail carriers on Thursday with a double load.
All federal offices will be closed.
Oh, what? So
some banks and courts will be closed. Supreme Court is postponing arguments for a day. The House and Senate have postponed all their votes.
What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to do that thing where
we
whip our back while we're wailing? We take those tree branches. What's that called? Where you self-flagellate? Are we supposed to do that all day tomorrow?
I'm trying to be respectful, but you're making it very difficult.
Well, it's because it's just so silly. And I'm, again, I...
Just, you know what? We all can take a moment to pause. I don't think that's going to be...
That would have worked.
I can do that in a moment. I'll take a moment. I'll pause. I'm not going to take the whole day off.
Actually, that would have been more effective, I think, for a national day of... Or a national moment of silence.
Yeah. The thing at like 9 o'clock, 9:06, right at the beginning of Tom and Curly.
Because then multiple, or you know, we could have honored that moment.
Yeah, yeah, and let's face it, a little silence during Tom and Curly's show.
And do all of these people get paid for their day of mourning?
Yes.
It's a pit.
Wow.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. No, I don't know anybody who's in mourning. Even the family members, they're filled with love.
He had a great life. He was ready to go.
He lived longer than any president ever. He's the longest lived president in the history of the country.
In all honesty, if I could choose the way I were to go, it would be like President Bush.
He had a great
absolutely.
Life.
Just so gentle.
Surrounded by family. Yes. He was skydiving on his 90th birthday 4 years ago. He's a terrific, admirable public servant. But a national day of mourning.
We should be celebrating his life, so, not mourning.
And just FYI, it was on Saturday that President Trump issued the proclamation that tomorrow would be the national
what
day
is going to happen. Nicole and I were talking about
Trump's
this yesterday.
Fault now.
Apparently
we were talking about this yesterday because, you know, we're watching all the coverage and it's very nice, and I think the ceremony of what we do when a president passes is it's sweet, it's touching, it's appropriate, but what's it going to be like when Trump goes? Are they going to have all the pomp and circumstance of the state funeral?
Right there.
Is he going to lie in state? Or people?
Well, it all depends who the president is at the time and if they declare a state of day of mourning.
I'm just not even sure the networks will cover it the same.
No.
Look, Edward, why are we even speculating? That didn't happen. In any case, tomorrow the post office is there are going to be some federal offices closed, and I still don't know the answer on parking. I'm guessing we still have to pay.
Of course we'll have to. The morning won't apply
but
to
there
that.
There shouldn't be parking meter mains, right?
I don't know. No, that's dumb. I'm sorry. That is dumb that we have a national day of mourning.
So now President Trump can't win in any way. So now he decides that.
I didn't know that
he wins
his thing.
He
it's a dumb
others.
Idea by him. I'll criticize it being his idea.
He's just trying to be respectful and trying to, you know, show honor to someone who served this country.
Let's go in after the show today, Nicole, and record 5 minutes of me sobbing, and we'll put it on a loop, and we'll just play that for all 3 hours tomorrow. Okay.
Okay. And did you say this has been done for other presidents? Every other?
I just can't remember that it has been. Do you remember?
I don't remember this. National Day of Mourning. I tell you what, you better, yes, you listening right now, you better mourn tomorrow. I want everybody to just be in abject, despondent grief.
Yes. The most recent ones, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, Nixon, Truman, Eisenhower, all of them. Kennedy, Roosevelt, Wilson, McKinley.
There you go.
All of them got a day.
And why weren't you?
So I don't think it was really Trump's choice. He had to.
There you go.
man.
But still.
And then there's this.
Ridiculous.
Before I get to the big lead, because I just heard about this day of mourning right before I walked in here. But you want to hear the evil of, and can we stop all this nonsense that it's just as bad on both sides? Because the left media has, you know, been insane for so long, and CNN has gone so completely off the rails. So Donald Trump, he went to walk by the casket last night, spent about a minute and a half, paused, looked like he was saying a prayer. He was with Melania. You know, there'd been the feuding with the Bush family because he took shots at Jeb during the primaries. But George H.W. specifically said he wanted Trump invited to his funeral. He didn't want any bitterness. And Trump has just been gracious and, you know, the day of mourning and spent a moment by the casket. See it. Listen to what CNN said about Trump visiting HW's casket. This is as crazed as you will ever hear the media.
You know, he's not one to mend fences too readily. I think he's doing this because he feels he has to do it. And I'm also assuming that General Kelly has had a big hand in it. I do know from the Bush family that they are very appreciative and think the White House has just bent over backwards, gone to great lengths, been extraordinarily helpful.
Okay. So the Bush family's grateful. Trump's been helpful and respectful and gracious. And so go on, CNN. Finally, you're going to say something nice about the president, right?
That said, just I can't help but wonder if there was a thought bubble over Donald Trump's head just now, what he was thinking as he stood there.
I have to imagine he was thinking, how much longer do I have to stand here?
It's you know, he had to be there. He did it. I think it's interesting he did it because maybe he could have waited to the National Cathedral, and then he saluted. It was
all told about a minute and 15 seconds.
It was somewhat theatrical.
Who are these
people?
Well, it's Anderson Cooper and two of his guests. And I mean, you want to talk about fake news? They're imagining thought bubbles because Trump's being nice. And now they're putting evil thought bubbles above his head. That is the ultimate fake news. What a bunch of incredible jerks.
That is ridiculous.
Oh, you want to hear more?
And it's because they're trying to fill time, and that's the problem. They're just trying to fill time.
No.
It's just a bunch of babble.
No, it's evil. It's evil. And that's all you get from leftist media these days. It's pure evil. Oh, it goes on from there.
In nature, but it's, I can't imagine that this is very comfortable for him these moments, and I think it is going to be fascinating to watch the cathedral on Wednesday and how he interacts with these other presidents and how he sits there during these eulogies.
Well, Jeffrey, that is one thing. I mean, traditionally, the sitting president would give a eulogy for a former president.
Right.
Obviously, that is not going to take place. This is a special circumstance, given that President Bush's son is also a former president.
They're insane. Every one of them is insane. They've lost their minds. And you want one more example of that? Did you see this piece in Slate? The far left magazine Slate?
I read that. They're such party poopers.
Okay, I was so touched by Sully, the service dog, and they took that picture of Sully laying down in front of the president's casket, and the caption was "Mission Complete," and it was beautiful. It was just absolutely beautiful, and we even talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday.
It went viral. I think it was something that everyone could agree on, that it was a beautiful thing.
Oh, no, no, no. Headline at Slate: "Don't spend your emotional energy on Sully H.W. Bush."
Why?
Because, or if you read the subhead, he's a service dog who had been with the president for 6 months, not his lifelong companion. Ooh, that's breaking news by Slate. So Sully was not with HW for 94 years? He wasn't a lifetime companion? That is quite the bit of news that Slate has broken here, that the dog didn't defy all biology, laws, and science. It wasn't a lifelong companion. Let me read to you a little bit.
So why do we even give them any sort of airtime?
So
they're just
point
curmudgeons.
Out the hate and idiocy of the left.
That is idiocy. Well, but that's no, that's Slate,
which is with the left. CNN is the left.
It's idiocy
no
to just
longer,
lump
after all
everyone.
Of this, pretend that this is coming equally from both sides.
It all
the
depends on who's in the White House,
oh,
and then it
please.
Goes. Yeah, you know what? No one's.
Obama didn't
like
come
roses.
Close to this. Okay, here's what Slate writes. In January 2009, a pilot named Chesley Sully Sullenberger steered his struggling aircraft to a safe landing in the Hudson River and became a national hero. Almost 10 years later, a dog named for the pilot has become a beloved hero, in quotation marks, in his own right, and he did it for something much simpler, lying down. On Sunday night, George H.W. Bush's spokesman posted a photograph to Twitter depicting a golden lab named Sully resting in front of the former president's casket. The caption read, "Mission complete." And then they talk about how C-SPAN and Fox News and NPR, they all covered the pair's forever friendship. And then they say, "There's nothing wrong with applying sentimentality when it comes to family pets reacting to their owners' deaths, but Sully is not a longtime Bush family pet. Letting go of the only master he has known, he's an employee who served for less than 6 months." And it goes on that Sully has a new job already. "It's wonderful for Bush that he had a trained service animal like Sully in his last few months. It's a good thing the dog is moving on to another gig. But it's a bit demented to project soul-wrenching grief onto a dog's decision to lie down in front of a casket. Is Sully heroic for learning to obey the human beings who taught him to perform certain tasks? Does the photo say anything special about this dog's particular loyalty or judgment? Or is he just there? Also, if dogs are subject to praise for obeying their masters, what do we do about the pets who eat their owners' dead or even just passed out bodies?"
Are you serious? I didn't get past like the first two lines. I was like,
yeah.
Grinch.
Yeah, if we're going to praise Sully for laying down in front of a casket, we have to make sure we criticize the dogs that eat their dead owners' bodies, according to Slate Magazine. That's what you get from the left tonight.
And, you know, just to put a cap on the morning mm-hmm. day.
Yeah.
We got a message from a listener who says, "I'm hearing you guys talk about the National Day of Mourning, and I work for the government. We have all said that this is the most ridiculous, costly holiday ever. We are all coming in anyways, and now we get holiday pay for a normal work day." They get holiday pay. No, he's not whining. He's saying it's ridiculous.
No, I'm just giving you a preview of our three-hour show tomorrow.
Dory's hoping that will help him
get
some extra pay tomorrow.
3 hours tomorrow. It's going to be a combination of mourning and Sully. Wait a second.
Wow, that was the big lead today, eh?
I didn't even get to the big lead today. I guess that's your big lead. That was it. Yeah.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
On a much more serious note, we are going to talk to a parent up in Marysville who reached out to us. And, you know, what he said when he contacted me just touched my heart. And we will then try to get him some answers from the school district. All of that straight ahead as we get rolling here on this Tuesday afternoon. There's nothing more precious in our lives than our kids. And when I hear about parents who are hurting because their kids are hurting, it touches me to the core, just like it does all of you. And I got an email a week or so ago from a dad who told me about what had happened with his son, who was a student at Marysville Pilchuck High School. And he has some concerns about how it's being handled. And he wants to make sure that the school district follows up on promises and assurances that they have made him. And the dad's name is Jason. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Jason, I appreciate you coming on with me, and I appreciate you reaching out to me.
I appreciate the time you're taking.
Tell me why you reached out to me, Jason.
Oh, basically, just overwhelmed by this situation. It's more than I can handle. I'm just an average guy, and these events have pretty much overwhelmed my wife and I. I really have no idea, really had no idea how to proceed. I received assurances from the school district that they would investigate. And basically, it's all in their hands now.
Okay. Tell me what happened with your son. He took his life on October 1st, right?
On October 1st, the week before, he had gotten into a sort of altercation with a young man who had threatened his life and his family's life if he didn't stay away from him and his girlfriend. We thought that was a little extreme, so we went to the principal the following Monday. The boy was reprimanded, told to stay away from my son. He's a football player. Then,
both your son and the other boy were both football players?
No, my son was a wrestler for 10 years.
Okay, got it.
The boy who did this was a football player, and he was told to stay away from my son, and my son didn't want him to get in trouble. Went to the principal and said, I don't want this guy to get in trouble. It was a stupid thing to say, and I accept his apology, basically. Well, then he's later that week claiming that football players are harassing him. I'd said some things to him, but he made it seem like it was no big deal. So a week after that, we went out of town for a day, and he killed himself. For the first month, we thought it might have just been an accident. We didn't know of any mental illness, or he'd never spoken of taking his life or anything like that. The Friday before Thanksgiving, a few of his classmates who really loved him, came to our house and said that he was, at one point in that week, crying to one of them about how he was tired of the football team bullying him and how he, quote, didn't even want to be here anymore. Well, we had talked about taking him out of the school after the initial incident, so we thought that maybe he meant that. But, you know, in light of what happened, it seems more ominous and desperate. And so I reached out to several police departments. I talked to several captains of several police departments, mm-hmm. and nothing has been done that was illegal, so they couldn't really get into it. So I reached out to the school district, and they said finally somebody said that they would begin an investigation. And that's where we are. They said that last Monday. As far as I know, they haven't contacted any of the students yet, because they've contacted me saying they haven't been contacted.
Right.
And I'm just scared and nervous, man, and overwhelmed.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And it's a very delicate situation for everybody involved, because, you know, the situation I'm in, and when you reached out to me, as I told you when I wrote back, it really touched my heart, and I'd like to help in any way I can, just to get you the kind of communication from the school and make sure they follow through. I also don't want to exploit the grief that you're feeling right now, and so I want to make sure that, you know, we're proceeding in a way that's going to try to get some answers for you, but also, you know, to, you know, for anybody who's listening, whose kid is in a similar situation, for school administrators who are in charge with trying to protect our kids when they're in their hands. I want to make sure that that's the focus of all of this. So you're just telling me that they've told you they would talk to the bullies, the people who are going after your son?
Initially, they're going to be talking, to my understanding, they'll be talking with the people who have reports of bullying.
Okay.
All the people that really loved my son and really miss him, they feel like they want to tell somebody, and nobody's asked them. The people who did the bullying should be talking to somebody. It's not their fault. It was my son's decision. But they have to be feeling guilt. They should be getting some help.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I appreciate your words there, but also this has become a bit of an epidemic, where, and especially, you know, with some sports teams, and we've heard about this from all around the country, where all too often people are, you know, kids are emboldened by each other, and they act in a way that, you know they should not be acting, but when you get in that kind of a peer situation and everybody's pressuring their buddies to treat somebody a certain way, it can be a dangerous spiral. So I know exactly what you're talking about when you refer to that. So you're not looking for a loss. I mean, you told me in your email, you're not looking to sue. You just want some help. You want to make sure that the kids are getting the help they need. You want to make sure that you're getting the answers that you need, it sounds like.
Exactly. I'm not looking for any sort of revenge or anything like that. It's just our son seemed perfectly fine until this initial incident happened. And I need to know what his last week at school was actually like, because at this point, I still have no idea why this has happened. For a while, we thought it was some sort of choking challenge accident. He put food in the microwave before he went downstairs. He asked the girl out, asked us if he could go to a football game that same day. And he seemed to be perfectly normal. But then I hear these reports of bullying, and I really just, his mother and I need to know what his last week was like, what his last day was like, and what his last hour was like. And we had to send his iPhone, which was locked, off to a company that I found that can unlock it, that'll give us some insight into what he was actually doing and looking at on his phone that day.
Right.
And any text messages or anything from that week. And that's just what I need to know before I can get on with grieving.
And you told me that he was, by all outward appearances, just a real involved, happy-go-lucky kid.
He was. He smiled all the time. He took a hug every time I gave it to him. He said, I love you, often and regularly.
Yeah.
And he never once came to us and said that he was anything other than just normal.
Yeah, and I know that's what's so scary when we hear about situations like yours, Jason, is it's the unknown. You know, and we all, as parents, we know that there's stuff in our kids' lives that we don't know about. There's stuff they're going through that they're not sharing with us. But that great unknown, I think, is one of the biggest fears that parents have.
Oh, yeah, it's the worst. As a young man, I never opened up to my father, and I assume most young men don't open up to their fathers or their mothers after a certain age. They're their own person.
Sure.
So I can understand him keeping things to himself, but we were completely flat-footed by this.
Yeah.
No warning at all.
Well, Jason,
and
what
the
I'm...
only thing that really happened in his life was that last week of school.
Right.
I don't know what happened there.
What we're going to do is reach out to the school in the district up there in Marysville, and we will see where they are in their internal investigation and make sure that the assurances they made you are not hollow ones, that they're actually trying to get the answers that you so desperately need. And we will, I know that, you know, in the big picture, will certainly not come close to counterbalancing your grief, but if it would mitigate it in any way, if you could start getting some answers, if we can help facilitate that, we absolutely will. And I'm just, as I told you in my email, I'm so very sorry for what you and your family are going through. I know it's the greatest nightmare any human being can face and deal with.
It is. You know, once again, I'd like to just reiterate that it's not that I don't have faith in that school district.
Right.
As so far, they're the only people that have shown any empathy or interest in getting to the truth.
Right.
And I reached out to you because it's just overwhelming to me.
I understand. Well, God bless you and your family, and we will try to pursue that truth for you and see if we can get some answers, and absolutely we'll stay in touch, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Okay. It's Jason up in Marysville. lost his son on October 1st, and 2 months later, still waiting to get some answers for some of the things that his son's friends had told him were going on at school. And we will pursue it with the district, and we will keep you posted as well. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Love to hear your thoughts on any and all things we talk about. 98973 is the Online Trading Academy text line. That's so you can get to us directly. Coming up right at the beginning of the Fastest 15, we're going to give you today's code word so you can win Seahawks tickets. All of our shows, Seattle's Morning News, Tom and Curly, Ron and Don, and Lolo May, we're giving away a pair of tickets per show every day. We did yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so you will just be competing with your fellow Dory Monson Show listeners. But I'll give you the code word to enter at mynorthwest.com. And you will be entered to win a pair of tickets to the Seahawks Monday night football game against the Minnesota Vikings. So be listening in about 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes to the beginning of the Fastest 15. And we'll give you today's Seahawk ticket code word of the day. Hey, I want to congratulate Tacoma. Well, the news isn't that good for Tacoma, but we have a lot of friends in Tacoma, a lot of Pierce County listeners. And in a brand new study of the safest cities in the United States, Tacoma didn't do that well. They ranked 182 cities in the country, and it was based on crime safety and other hazards as well. Financial risks, cyber crime, other types of natural disasters. Tacoma came in 114th out of 182 cities. So why am I congratulating Tacoma? Because that's not very good. Because Tacoma, you are safer than Seattle. So yay, Tacoma. Because you see, Seattle is 143rd out of 182 cities when it comes to safety. We were one of the worst cities in the country in home and community safety. I've told you many times that of all the major cities, meaning top 20 population, Seattle has the worst property crime in the United States. And with that and all of the other factors that they ranked, thanks to Jenny Durkin, who's done nothing in her first year in office to improve safety. Thanks to leadership like our fantastic city council, stooges Rob Johnson, Mike O'Brien, Lorena Gonzalez, Bruce Harrell, the grandma with the nose ring, cool, edgy, and all the rest. Seattle is now one of the worst cities in the entire country when it comes to safety, according to the study by Wallet Hub. But Tacoma's a little bit better than us. Give you a chance to win Seahawks tickets and lots of news in the Fastest 15 coming up next.